Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby.
Here's a mistake and a throw. Puck by Richard. He scores. A taser from Jonathan Toews. His first.
Hello, hockey fans. How are you doing today? It's Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show, right here on UMFM 101.5 in Winnipeg. We're streamed anywhere and everywhere. You got an internet connection. You can download the show as a podcast on your favorite podcast providers. It's co-host Tom here with you. I'm with, as always, co-host Jared. We're going to be talking Season 6, Episode 24, an episode that we're calling The Federko. Bernie Federko. The Dirk! He's from Foam Lake, Saskatchewan. Ever heard of it? It's on the Yellowhead Highway. That's Highway number 16, just northwest of beautiful Yorkton, Saskatchewan. Jared, you ever been? How you doing?
I'm good. Have I been to Foam Lake? I've driven through Foam Lake for sure.
Yeah, same. That's all I've driven through. I got gas there. I don't know.
I can't imagine that. There's a whole heck of a lot to do in Foam Lake.
I don't think it's a destination.
No, apologies to the good folks of Foam Lake. I'm sure it's a heck of a town. Lots of funny town names in Saskatchewan, though. And Foam Lake is also the hometown of former Winnipeg Jets legend Pat Hellebuyck of the version 1.0 Jets.
Yeah. I would imagine Hellebuyck and Bernie Federko's paths crossed, you know.
Oh yeah, they're buddies.
Federko, I think, is a little bit his senior.
Yes.
As Federko was retired in basically 1990, and Hellebuyck kind of kicking off his career. Although Federko retired at age 33.
Yeah.
After playing exactly 1,000 games in the NHL.
Kind of an interesting story, because he was really good. Really good right up until the last game. So
yeah. So begs the question, why did he retire at age 33? Because in his final year, he played 73 games. He scored 57 points. Now, maybe he's got some nagging injuries and he just had 1,000 games is a regular season games. You know, I mean, maybe you're just done by then. I don't know. But it seems like he could have kept going. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, Bernie. Like, what's your deal, bud?
I do like that it was 1,000 games even. And he holds the Blues record, St. Louis Blues record, for career games played with that franchise, 927. The other 73 games in Bernie's career came with the Detroit Red Wings. And he didn't wear 24 with Detroit. He wore 42. So we're not even going to talk about that. But Bernie's in the Hall of Fame, you know. He was kind of talked about for some awards like the Lady Byng and the Hart Trophy a couple times, but never won it. But that doesn't discount the kind of player he was. I mean, he was a scoring star all the way back to his younger days. Jared, you just kind of found a really fun fact. I'm going to let you share that about his younger playing days, you know, before he was even drafted.
Yeah, well, so he was the captain of the 1971 Saskatchewan Bantam Provincial Champions out of Foam Lake, Saskatchewan. And so we figured that Bantam age was 14 and under. So the oldest he could have been was 14, so 56. Yeah, he would have been 14 years old.
I think you can play Bantam 15 years old, but I don't know.
So
that's just what I thought.
Regardless, the same year, he also played senior hockey with the Foam Lake Flyers in a league called the Fishing Lake Hockey League. And as a youngster, a bantam age player playing against men, he won the league scoring title. And yeah, so, you know, that that was something. That was that was something. So yeah, like Bernie, I always remember him kind of growing up because he was always the representative at the All-Star game for the St. Louis Blues. Yeah. Not a lot going on for the Blues at that time. But he played from 76 to 1990. That final season was with, as you mentioned, was with the Detroit Red Wings. But, you know, he was the captain of the Blues. Yeah. And he wasn't a super, like, flashy player, but just kind of got the job done. Was definitely looking to dish the puck. He was a facilitator, as they say. And
yeah, he had some really nice assist numbers in his career. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That isn't to say he couldn't score goals. He scored 41 goals in 83-84. Mm-hmm. And that was his career high in points that year, 107.
Yeah.
And like
at the time he was the first player in the NHL history to record 50 assists in 10 consecutive seasons, scored at least 90 points between 78 and 86. I think he was probably overshadowed by this guy named Wayne Gretzky, who was kind of doing things at the time.
And he played, and you know, Bernie played in an obscure market like St. Louis, right? But I mean, he's one of those guys that would have probably helped St. Louis really solidify it being a hockey town, because I think nobody these days questions whether St. Louis is a hockey town or not. They love their Blues, and you mm-hmm. know, they've had some great teams there over the years. The Blues had the longest streak of making the playoffs for like forever when they missed the playoffs a few years ago. It was like the first time they'd missed in, you know, 30 years or something like that. Like, you know, fact checkers out there, listeners, if you're fact checking, let me know how we're doing on our pulling random stats and numbers out of our rear ends. But yeah, I mean, Federico, I think, known, you know, for his offensive prowess as a youngster, and then the NHL, he was no slouch.
Mm-hmm.
Known by guys like me who in the late 80s were starting to collect hockey cards.
Yeah.
Known for a wonderful mustache he had. The face of the Blues, eh? Like, and what a face it was.
It was always fantastic mustache. And, you know, like he wasn't rocking. Like last week we talked about Bob Nystrom, right? And like Nystrom looked like a goddamn like Nordic god. He had like the
right.
flowing
well, isn't it Thor, you know?
right. Bernie Federico had always had a great duster, but he kept it like kind of like a helmet of hair, right? Like it was tight to the sides. So
yeah, like I know what you mean. Like there was a bit of razzle dazzle in some of his younger days. As he got older, he kind of got that just like, he could have just been an RCMP officer, you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't have even known that he was, it's like, oh, this guy's a pro hockey player. You're like, are you sure he's not just like the RCMP officer from, you know, Foam Lake Detachment or whatever? Like,
well, I'll tell you, you know, Foam Lake, as with sort of probably many of the Saskatchewan towns in and around, is no nonsense sort of business, right? And so if he's going back to the family barbecues in Foam Lake in the off season, you're not coming back looking big city. Like, come on, man.
Big city, long hair, huge sideburns, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Frosted tips or whatever. No, none of that for Bernie. No, thank you.
You know, put on your Wranglers and your boots and get out there and and muck out the barn, Bernie. So
a beauty, though. He's a beauty. And he's a beauty. A, You know that because he's on TV, right? He's a blues analyst, color commentator, studio guy, whatever he is. And he's pretty enjoyable, to be honest, if you ever catch him on blues broadcasts, which around these parts on regular cable, you're not going to catch too often. But for a while, I had the sweet Center Ice package, and you watch all the out-of-market games with their sort of home broadcast crew or whatever. And yeah, Federico's good stuff. So
yeah. So I did, you know, just kind of while we're chatting, I wanted to kind of figure out why Bernie Federico retired so early.
Like, oh, okay.
Yep. Very much in the prime of his career. So he wrote a book called My Blues Note. It came out probably 4 or 5 years ago. And basically, he had always sort of anticipated that he was going to play with one team, and he wanted to play with the Blues. At the end of his career, he had gone to sort of renegotiate a new contract. The owner of the Blues at the time was a bit of a cheapskate, didn't want to play it, pay him what he felt he was worth. And so told him he was going to be on the move and asked him where he wanted to go. And so, Jacques Demers, the sort of the classic NHL coach, had coached Bernie with the Blues, was now coaching in Detroit. And so Bernie said, you know what? Only place I'll go is to Detroit. And so
that's interesting, because in 89-90, it's not like the Red Wings were any good.
No, but interestingly enough, he was traded to Detroit. The Blues got back Adam Oates, who was like the point guy for Brett Hull for all those years, and a real Winnipeg, you know, like I joke around, Pat Elenick, not necessarily legendary Jet. Paul McLean was a legendary Winnipeg Jet, and so he went to St. Louis as well. And if you want to talk great mustaches, Paul McLean.
Paul McLean's a great starting point. Talk about that.
Yeah.
I was just reading something on the weekend. You know, Montreal and Ottawa played Hockey Night in Canada. Mm-hmm. Those two teams are kind of irrelevant this year. However, that was a pretty entertaining game. But I read something about how, you know, those teams have a long way to go to get back to their relevance of their 2013 playoff series, which you know, it provided a whole bunch of quotes from, and Paul McLean was the coach of the Sens at that time, and that was the year that somebody was quoted, I forget who it was, but somebody from Montreal quoted as saying, calling him a big fat walrus.
He said
hey, I'm not fat, I'm husky. Something like that. I just gold anyway.
Yeah, total gold.
And remember how Paul McLean, I know we're talking Federico, but remember how Paul McLean had the like absolute dead ringer lookalike that sat behind the bench at Sens games, and it was like his twin brother, but it
was amazing
just by chance anyway.
So before jumping into TV, Bernie Federico also served as the head coach for the St. Louis Vipers, which was a professional roller hockey team that was part of the Roller Hockey International League that I can't imagine existed for a long time. But do you remember in like the mid-90s when they tried to make professional roller hockey a thing?
Like vaguely.
Well, so Bernie was their head coach. Nice. And they
had his hands in his pocket. You gotta do what you gotta do. The Vipers, roller hockey. I mean, big in places like Victoria, BC.
Sure,
to be honest. Former guest of the show, past guest of the show, and friend of the show. He's played Apocalypse and stuff. He's from around here originally, lives out in Victoria, plays roller hockey all the time. I am totally blanking on his name, unfortunately. I remember his Instagram is at Beer Leaguered.
Well, shout out to that guy.
Yeah. He's been out here for Apocalypse and stuff. Anyway, Big roller hockey guy. Just like Bernie Federko. Let me tell you. So Federko, okay, we're closing in on going to have to play some a song here.
Yeah.
Federko, he got his number 24 retired by the Blues, like less than a year after retiring as a player.
Correct.
He got inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in 2002. The first St. Louis Blue to be there.
Correct.
You know, and yeah, he was, you know, the face of the Blues. He helped cement the Blues as a legit team.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So Bernie, right on. Career numbers. Let's give them to you. 1,000 career regular season games, 369 points, 761 assists for 1,130 career points. He was a dash 131 on his career, but that's only because he played for mostly bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the Blues might have been competitive for some of those years that he was there, but they were, you know.
They weren't great. No.
But and like he said, like we said, he was kind of a Lady Bing type of player. He only had mm-hmm. 487 career PIMs. So, you know, you tack on some 91 playoff games and 101 playoff points. And yeah, you got yourself a pretty good player.
Yeah.
Bernie Federko from Foam Lake, Saskatchewan, number 24.
Yeah, still holds Blues records for career games played, career assists, and career points.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, first
drafted
NHL player.
7th overall in 1976, behind the likes of, well, a whole bunch of guys you've never even heard of. So,
well, what's interesting too, so he was drafted by the Blues first round in 76 and was also drafted by the Edmonton Oilers in the WHA draft, also in the first round of 1976.
Oh. Yeah. Interesting.
So there you go.
Did players have a choice? Like if that happened,
yeah.
Like did Federko
yeah.
be like, yeah, I'll go play with the Oilers?
Yeah.
Now, of course, Gretzky, you know what I mean? Like this is 3-4 years before Gretzky kinda came on the scene as a guy going pro. So how was he to know that if he had to chose the WHA, play for the Oilers? They join the NHL, plays with Gretzky, Stanley Cups, etc.
Yeah.
Hindsight's 2020, Bernie.
Yeah.
We're going to play some songs today.
Yeah.
The first one is a nod to Mr. Austin Matthews, yours and my favorite player.
God love him. Just fantastic.
And as we record this.
Yeah.
As we record this, sorry, I'm getting.
Are you getting all like misty here?
Yes,
A couple weeks ago,
I had to close
my
browser because I was getting some extraneous music.
Uh-oh.
Into my headphones, and I couldn't tell which of my 50 tabs that I had open it was. So anyway, sorry, listeners. What I was trying to say is that Austin Matthews, as we record this, is sitting at 69 goals.
Ah.
That's when you say, Jared, that's when you say, nice.
No. Not doing that.
So I just thought, you know what? Let's play some sounds of the swinging 60s.
Yeah. What does this have to do with Austin Matthews? Not much, although that mustache he rocks would have definitely played well. In 1969.
Yeah, like it put a turtleneck on him with that mustache, and then you put some Bob Crew generation on the lo-fi or the hi-fi player, I mean.
Yeah.
Sorry.
pour yourself a highball, light up a smoke, and let's go, baby.
Yeah. 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 Just think of Austin Powers, basically. And that's what I mean. So this is the theme from Barbarella.
Yeah.
Which came out, I don't know if it was 69, but right around then.
Yeah,
and this is Bob Crew Generation, right here on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show.
Hey, It's a wonder, Wonder Woman. You're so wild and wonderful. 'Cause it seems whenever we're together, the planets all stand still. Barbarella, psychedella, there's a kind of cocktail shell about you.
Barbarella, Barbarella.
Dazzle me with rainbow color, fade away the color shade of
pain. All right, that was the Bob Crew Generation, live from 1968 with Barbarella. 68 or 69, kind of hard to say.
Have you ever seen Barbarella?
I have. Pretty good.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. Yep.
Yeah.
Like that one.
Yeah, like that whole era of movies, music, swinging 60s, baby. Pretty great.
Yep. Not going to complain.
Yeah, and so Austin Matthews, 69 goals on the season as of recording here. We're recording Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he'll hit 70? I mean, he's going to win the Rocket Richard. Whether or not he hits 70 or not, he's already got the Leafs record, which mm-hmm. for all intents and purposes of Canadian hockey media is like the all-time record, basically. Like they're treating the attention and the amount of, you know, airtime and ink that is being spilled on Austin Matthews scoring 69 goals right now.
Yeah, well, he's got two
games. It's as if nobody has ever scored more.
Yeah, at time of recording, he's got two games left. He's taken his show on the road to Florida and is playing the Panthers on Tuesday and wraps up on Wednesday against the Tampa Lightning.
Those are two teams who can play defense, and I honestly hope that they shut them out.
Yeah,
but you know, whatever. And here's actually an interesting little fact. I think there's only two teams in the NHL with fewer than 200 goals against.
Against, yes.
That being your Winnipeg Jets and your formerly Winnipeg Jets coach, Paul Maurice's Florida Panthers.
Yes.
So that's kind of a fun fact. The Jets have 194 against. They got two games left. And the Panthers 198 against with two games left. So
yes,
let's see how that turns out.
We'll get back to you.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty cool if I don't care what the Panthers do, but I think it'd be pretty cool if the Jets were to, you know, keep her under 200.
Yeah. So your former Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, your
former Winnipeg Jets are
on the move.
Perhaps like the worst kept secret in the sports world over the last week and a half.
It's just kind of came out as a rumor. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's been going around, and it was all but confirmed. And now it's like, yeah, what we're talking about, listeners, is the Phoenix Coyotes, the Arizona Coyotes. They're packing up and they're leaving the desert and they're going to a different desert, the higher desert. I don't know, the altitude. I've never been to Salt Lake City or Utah.
Nor have I.
But I couldn't tell you much about it. Although they have mountains with lots of ski resorts.
Mm-hmm,
They're familiar with winter, I suppose you might say. So,
yeah.
And they are the home of a ECHL team, I think, or some sort of pro hockey team that plays at a smaller rink than what the new team will be playing at. The Phoenix Coyotes, now the Salt Lake City Coyotes, I guess.
I mean, are they going to change? They're going to change sure the will, name, right?
The guy's paying $1.2 billion for it.
Yeah.
He's probably going to want to name it whatever he wants to name it, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting that, like, you know, Timo Solani's record as a Winnipeg Jet back in 90, whatever
Oh,
that he scored
God.
76 is Coyote now. Now a Salt Lake City
Yeah.
franchise.
Dale Hawerchuk has his number 10 hanging in the rafters at Utah. You know what I will say? I really, really hope one of the things that has always bothered me is that the basketball team, which this guy, Ryan Smith, not to be confused
with the beauty from Banff, Alberta, Ryan
yeah.
Smith.
But Ryan Smith, he also owns the Utah Jazz, which is maybe the worst name for a professional sports.
Salt Lake City is not known for its jazz.
Jazz in Utah. Like, why not the New Orleans Jazz? Right?
Well, yeah.
Like, that makes sense. The Utah Jazz, no, it doesn't make sense at all. Anyways,
it doesn't.
So Ryan Smith, he's wanted to get into the hockey game for quite a while. He is paying $1 billion. You want to talk Austin Matthews? $1 billion
yeah.
for the Arizona Coyotes to move them, their entire hockey operations, to Salt Lake City. And Alex Marullo, who is the guy who currently owns, will continue to move forward with a $3 billion project, including building a new arena in North Phoenix. And so,
I mean, that's what he's saying right now.
So, but part of the deal is
he
that
he gets a 5-year window, right?
And if he builds that rink, he gets an expansion team automatically. Plus, then he gives the $1 billion back to the NHL as payment for entering the league. And you know what? That makes me so mad.
Oh, yeah. For a lot of reasons. I will say, though, this, the way that I heard Elliot Friedman kind of explain it or something, was that it's basically a way to not get sued by Morello.
Yeah, sure.
Right? So, is it realistic to think that he's going to build a $3 billion hockey rink development in a part of town that Scottsdale is opposing him and yada, yada, yada?
Yep.
When there's no team to even, you know what I mean? I that project's probably going to just die in the water, right? Like, but it's all there and it's part of the clause and the agreement and whatever. I think it's more likely that they just have Utah's AHL team play at Mullet Arena where the Coyotes play now and have been playing.
Yeah.
Which is like, well, why didn't the NHL move this team? I mean, this is a team that was owned by the NHL from 09 till whatever.
Yeah.
And why didn't they just move them back then?
09 to 2013. So this is the crux of it for me, and I've seen this talked about on a number of kind of local hockey Twitters and message boards. When Jets 1.0 moved back in 1996, the whole thing was kind of brought to light and signed, sealed, delivered, see you later, over the course of about 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
This has been going on for 30 years.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, what is... It's been...
Ironically, 30 years is the amount of time they've been in the desert.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's never worked. It's never going to work.
No.
You know, oh, and there's like, oh, the fans. Oh, who cares? What are you guys, like 12 fans? No, they have 5,000 fans. But you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. They'll find the next thing. It's okay. Whatever.
No. And so there's also talk, right? Like, okay, so this is going to happen. There's going to be this other Phoenix team comes in. Right now we're at, what, 32 teams? 33 teams?
Yeah, and then they want, you know, Houston. They want all these other places. I'm anti-expanding past 32 teams. It just seems like it's too many. But
it's like it's out there that the NHL wants as many as 34 teams by the year 2030, right? So essentially 5 years from now. Quebec.
I mean, it is what it is, I guess. But here's a beef with that then. So what was it about? So the Jets 2.0 have been back in Winnipeg for 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back about 14 years when Jim Balsillie, owner of Research in Motion at the time, said basically, like, I'm buying this team, I'm moving them to Hamilton or whatever, wherever it was.
Yeah.
And the NHL shut him down on that.
It was going to be the Pittsburgh Penguins.
I think he wanted any team. He would have taken Atlanta. He would have taken Phoenix. He would have taken Pittsburgh, the New York Islanders. I think, you know, so the NHL said, you know, hold on now, and shut him down on it.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, letting Arizona go for another 20 years or whatever it is, with just like
ridiculous,
you know, playing in a junior barn and all the rest of it, getting kicked out of their own arena because they can't pay the bills. And
well, anyway. And so this is not paying the bills. This is the other thing that I wanted. This is the other thing that I wanted to talk about. Was there was a report that came out after they made this big announcement that they're moving to Utah, that during the course of this season, this year, the Phoenix Coyotes were not paying for hotels on the road. And
were they sleeping on friends' couches?
No. So they're
like an indie band touring the country.
So they're going, they're booking hotels, but then they're not paying the bills. And so a couple weeks into the season, they the Hotel Association of the United States or whatever, they all banded together and said,
no more Phoenix Coyotes.
No more Phoenix Coyotes. We want certified cashier's checks up front, or you guys are going to be sleeping on people's couches.
This is some Charleston Chiefs kind of stuff.
I know, man. Like, you just like
just trying to capture the spirit of the thing, you know?
You expect to hear like dun 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 dun. Yeah, it's not all right, Tom. It is not all right, and
it's pretty messed up. But it's such a circus by the NHL. Gary Bettman, of course, that was his like. That was his baby, his project. It's got to burn his sphincter to let it go, but you know, it's finally going, and looks
like
they're...
You'd call him the head ringleader of the circus, but I'd just say he's the guy driving the clown car because
it's all the board of whatever owners and all the rest of it. Right?
Forget him.
Like they all suck. Just their mouthpiece. So it is silly. It's a very, very silly thing because, you know, you've got places like Quebec City with state of the art arenas who have been just waiting, and you know, they don't want more Canadian teams, even though the Canadian teams have been propping up the Phoenix Coyotes for 30 years, you know. Away she goes.
It is the way she goes.
She goes. I mean, you got to feel pretty lucky as a Winnipegger then that we were able to somehow finagle a team out of America, because that is obviously not the norm. Because, I mean, yeah, you talk about Quebec City. Oh, the corporate support's not there. Oh, blah, blah, blah. It would work. Don't worry about it. It would work. You know, Hamilton, there'd have to be regional rights between Buffalo and Toronto and Detroit and whatever. They'd figure it out. Don't worry. There's enough hockey fans. It would work. But the NHL wants to break new ground in places like Houston, Salt Lake City.
Chasing the lucrative U.S. market, right?
And it drives me nuts when people talk about Phoenix and they're like, oh, it's the whatever, second or fifth largest metro market in the U.S. and the TV, blah, 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 and whatever. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's all great, fine, and dandy. But if you don't have people watching the TV, like watching the games on TV, if you don't even have a TV deal or whatever, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know. It's pretty ridiculous. So anyway, are you a SLC fan now? Like, is that your team?
What's the team name going to be? Is it
I don't know. The
Stormin' Mormons? The Salt Lake City Sister Wives? You know, like...
I've heard Utah Yetis. Utah Yeti. I guess you don't pluralize Yetis.
No.
Because I don't know why.
Yeah.
The Utah Yeti, I'm not against, to be honest with you. I'm not anti-Yeti. I'm pro-Yeti. But I don't...
It's just an excuse to sell some Yeti merchandise to kids.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. But maybe Colorado's like, hey, what about us? We got the Yeti on the... It's our mascot, isn't it?
No, Colorado's mascot's a dog. He's
oh,
like
what?
A like he's like a rescue dog.
Oh,
you
like
know,
a Saint
like
Bernard
like,
mountain dog.
Yeah, like a avalanche
or a Burmese mountain dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
he's
nice.
like a he's like a Burmese mountain dog. He's got a flask of wine around his neck.
Yeah,
yeah. So.
Speaking of the avalanche, how about those Winnipeg Jets laying a thrashing on them this past weekend? 7-0 statement game, if you ever even heard of one, because it has been locked in and loaded that the Avs and Jets will be facing off in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, which I assume starts Saturday the 20th. And the Jets, as we record this, the Jets just need 1 point in their final two games. They play Tuesday and Thursday, Seattle and Vancouver home games. They just need a point, and they'll clinch home ice advantage for that series.
So why don't we go to a song and then come back on the other side of the break and let's break down the rest of the sort of implications, because, you know, we're recording this on Sunday night, but by the time you hear this, good listener, Monday, there's 8 games being played. 7 of them have implications of teams getting into the playoffs, teams locking in their position, and you know,
yeah,
it seems like the
are
sort
you,
of things
are
we
you
should
a
talk
sunny
about.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia fan?
Oh yeah.
Dennis Reynolds and the
oh yeah,
the implications. I
yeah,
feel
yeah.
like we could insert this gif right now,
yeah,
of Dennis Reynolds and his implications.
It's
But let's go
amazing,
to a
actually.
song.
So it's amazing you mentioned Dennis, because
Yeah.
the guy who plays Dennis on Always Sunny also played Jim Balsillie in the fantastic 2023 film Blackberry,
Blackberry,
which is an
with
amazing
Jay
movie.
Baruchel, who's a Montreal Canadiens lifer.
Yeah. So
and that movie is actually, I didn't see it yet, but I've
whoa.
Heard the great reviews.
Yeah, one of my favorite movies of
last
year.
It's on my list to watch, yeah.
And the stuff with him going up against the NHL is in the movie.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to be a Blackberry guy. And
oh, yeah,
when
so
I
was
switched over in 2013 or so.
You shed a tear, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well,
we're
all
gonna
of
play
this
some
to
Dirty
say,
Catfish Brass Band, right?
Yeah, down and
Okay.
dirty. Some
Down and dirty.
shenanigans by the NHL again.
Yeah, in honor of the NHL getting down and dirty with the Arizona Coyotes and the Utah Yeti.
Yes.
This is Winnipeg's own Dirty Catfish Brass Band right here on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show. Okay, that was the Dirty Catfish Brass Band with their song Down and Dirty. Catfish Brass Band, of course, Winnipeg band. They've friends of the show. They've appeared. We've had a couple of the boys on the show. It's a big band. I mean, I don't know. It fluctuates from 5 to 12 people. I don't think it's quite as many as 12. I think it's something like 7 or 8 usually. But a large number of them are hockey fans, you know, Jets fans, season ticket holders. They play hockey. That Todd Martin, quite a hockey player. So from what I heard, I heard through the grapevine that he potted 6 goals just last week in the Glenwood skate that he plays in. So just saying. Look out for Todd Martin on the ice.
6 goals.
Yeah, I was told this by friend of the show, Andrew, listener up in Maple. Garden City, and he said everything was going in for him. He had like 8 shots, 6 of them went in.
There you go.
That's just the way she goes sometimes.
Yeah, never for me though. Never for me.
Just
let me
start
tell
putting
you.
Pucks on net. That's the mantra of every great goal scorer. Look at Austin Matthews right now. Everything's to the net.
Yeah.
What a year for statistics, though. You know, Kucherov looks like he's going to win the Art Ross. McKinnon's right there.
Mm-hmm.
McDavid fell off because he's now missed 3 or so games in a row. But those 3 guys all 130 plus points. Matthews is, you know, 69 goals. You got a few other guys with 50 plus. And I mean, even like a guy like Panarin, who's kind of further down the scoring, you know, what do you call it, chain.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, he's having a career year with, what's he got, 42 goals and, you know, a bunch of assists. He's got 118 points or whatever. So a lot of scoring this year. They showed us a stat on Hockey Night in Canada, most hat tricks since, you know, 1980 something.
Mm-hmm.
There's like been 111 hat tricks on the year for combined for all the players. The record's 114. So we'll see in this last week if anybody scores some hatties. But implications, Jared, there are playoff implications. What are we looking at? I mean, you know, we mentioned just before the break there with the song that the Winnipeg Jets are going to be facing the
Colorado.
Avs.
Yep.
Looks like it's probably going to be home ice advantage, you know. Don't want to jinx the bullies, but they just need a point. And here's a fun fact.
Yeah.
Jets are on a 6-game win streak this following mm-hmm. their 6-game losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
They're on a 6-game win streak, longest in the NHL currently.
That's not so bad. Hey, yeah. So here's my young correspondent friend Ethan tells me that if the Jets get, I believe it is 1 point in the next 2 games, mm-hmm. that they clinch home ice advantage and call it would be getting the extra game.
I told you that last segment, didn't I? But Ethan probably put the bug in my ear. So,
well, you know, and I mean, you're the one that's constantly getting rung up by the fact checking department. So,
well, you know,
yeah. You know, so did you watch any of that game yesterday against Colorado?
I watched the 3rd period on TV. I listened to the 2nd period on the radio, and I missed the 1st period entirely. So the 3rd period was basically like, let's just get a shutout for Helly.
Yeah.
And the 2nd period, they put 3 in the net. 1st period, they put 4 in the net. And they basically curb stomped the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah.
And the Avalanche have been in a tailspin. So.
Yeah, so what's going on there? Because, like, I know that Colorado kind of, on paper, right? Like, we were talking about this last week, and I'm just like, oh, geez, we're playing Colorado. Man, I mm-hmm. don't want to play Colorado. And then I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Playing Colorado might not be that bad. I guess I think about nasty Nate McKinnon, and I think about Rantanen, and I think about Makar.
All guys who can take a game over and a series over, for sure.
But Colorado is banged up right now.
They're banged up. Georgiev is the goalie.
Georgiev, in the last month, he's got a goals against, or what is it, save percentage?
7 again. Yeah.
Just over 9, like .900. Not
yeah.
very good.
That's below league average, for sure.
People talking that, like, Landeskog might still be a factor. Like,
sure.
Is that happening?
I don't know. I haven't really heard that, but I think I had heard that a long time ago, and I don't know if he's gonna, but here's the thing. Like, I think, you know, when they talk about trade deadline acquisitions, and Colorado kind of did a bunch of stuff at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
They brought in Scott Walker from Philly. They brought in, I forget who else, Casey Mittelstadt, exchanged him out for Bowen Byram. Great young defenseman. That's going to be a nice move for, I mean,
Buffalo,
probably both
Buffalo
teams,
down
but
the line.
For Buffalo down the line.
Yeah.
But
they swapped out basically a quarter of their team. They
yeah,
brought
I mean,
in five
you
or
do
six
that much
new guys.
Changeover, you bring that many new guys in. I don't know how beneficial that necessarily is.
No.
And it looks on paper and at deadline day, you're like, oh, boys, they're stacking up. And it's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, the Jets added Toffoli and Monahan.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Colin Miller, but he's played sparingly. But Toffoli, it's been kind of difficult to find the right fit for him. Monahan's been here a little longer. He's kind of solidified his spot in a way. But, you know, they're finding their groove now. But,
well,
like,
I think too, though, like the thing that I see about the Winnipeg moves, yes, the Royal We made a couple of big moves, but brought in guys who had a lot of familiarity with other guys on the team.
That's
right?
True.
So
yeah.
Monahan is a known guy to a couple of other players. Toffoli obviously had played with Monahan. Toffoli had played with Iafallo. Toffoli had played with Vilardi. So
yeah, there's some familiarity between various guys, and it seems like the, you know, and with only sort of two and a half, three new guys coming into the locker room,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, it's not as big as maybe what Colorado did with a number, like, I don't know, it was like five or more new players or something like that. But like you say, they've had injuries that they've been battling, and so maybe it's partly to supplement that, you know, like to have just bodies who can play.
The other thing, like, I guess with Winnipeg too, right? Like, what, like right now, knock on wood, the Jets are relatively healthy.
Yep.
I don't know what the prognosis is with Big Nino, but he
it's supposed to be back for playoffs is what they're saying.
Okay,
they might
well,
not play him in the last two games. Who knows?
Right.
But, you know, I think he'll probably be back
mm-hmm,
for playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's kind of like, well, okay, well, that third line you right now has Gustafson on it with Lowry. And
Gus has actually looked pretty good, right?
Pretty good. So it's a good problem to have. But,
yeah.
Jared, let's talk about the implications, because we kind of were joking about that, but haven't yet actually really mentioned it. So, like, what are the playoff implications of Monday night's games? Because there's eight games, and it's like, you know, Detroit is on the cusp. They've got a home and home with Montreal to end the year. The New York Islanders are currently holding third in the Metro. They're playing the Devils on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Penguins are scratching and clawing
mm-hmm.
for a wild card spot. They're playing the Preds, and then it's the Bruins and Caps, and the Caps are kind of in the same boat where I think they're holding the second wild card right now, but
correct.
Basically it's they're at 87 points or something. Where to go? 87. Detroit, Philly, all three of those have 87 points. Pittsburgh's got 89 points. New York Islanders are 90 points. So I'm not sure that Washington, oh, they could catch them. Yeah, there's some movement that can happen.
So just, and I could be totally wrong, but the way that I kind of see it is that if the Islanders win against New Jersey, then they are in. The Capitals, Pittsburgh, and Detroit all have to win in order to keep their hopes alive. If the Capitals, Pittsburgh, and Red Wings lose in regulation, Pittsburgh and Detroit are out, and Washington and Philly would play for that last wild card spot. If Pittsburgh wins, then they would still be in the wild card contention, would all hinge on a matchup against the Islanders on Wednesday.
I hope it comes down to the last game of the season.
Oh yeah, for sure.
There's nothing more exciting.
Yeah, Boston with a win against the Capitals would wrap up the Atlantic and set their sights on a first round matchup with Tampa, which Honestly, I would not want to play Tampa in the first round.
Yeah, like I mean, right? Like it, what a prize for winning first.
But
You
if
get Tampa
so
and New
and
York would be, I mean, the Rangers, they would get, you
yeah.
know, either the, I don't know, Caps, Flyers, Wings, Islanders, something, right?
Yeah, I think
Penguins.
yeah. So if Boston wins, it also locks in the Panthers and Toronto as first round opponents, and then the Rangers with a win of any kind against Ottawa will clinch the President's Trophy, which means home ice advantage throughout the playoffs. The Western Conference is a little bit more clear.
Yeah, a little clearer for sure.
Teams are all kind of locked in, but
The matchups are crazy. It's like, I mean, the first round of playoffs in general, regardless of how it ends up shaking out, I love the first round of playoffs. It's
Well, and
like it's
window.
just like such exciting hockey every single night of the week, several games a night.
Well, and window. So Winnipeg and Colorado is the only matchup that is locked in,
Yeah.
whether or not
We're just waiting on
Winnipeg.
home ice
Yeah,
advantage.
home ice advantage. But you were saying like it's looking like Dallas is going to play Vegas,
What a series that's going to be.
and
Jeez.
then the Canucks would play
Canucks and the Preds.
Nashville,
And
and
like the
then.
Canucks have been great. The Preds, though, I mean, that's a team you don't necessarily want to face. Juicy
Right.
Saros, you know. And
But
then.
Edmonton playing LA, but Edmonton could still win the division, even though
Right.
they lost to Vancouver on Saturday, because Edmonton has San Jose coming down the pipe at
They
the
got
end
three
here.
games left, I think.
Yeah. And so Edmonton could end up playing Nashville. Vancouver would play LA. I'm saying, you know what, like Boston gets stuck with a horrible matchup against Tampa, and whoever gonna end up playing against Vegas, that's gotta suck too, because you know what, like in the last week, Vegas gets back Mark Stone, all of a sudden Hurdle, he's coming off LTIR. I'm sure whoever else has been hiding on the injured list is gonna
Yeah,
pop
they're
up
all
out of
coming
Vegas.
back.
Yeah,
Well, and
so
you know what I mean? Like they're just a team that, I mean, they're the defending Stanley Cup champions. They probably got an idea or
oh
two
yeah.
about how to
Yeah,
go
it's
about
th
winning
that
them, you know what
happened
I mean?
last year,
So
right?
it's kind of like it's not a team you want to face in the first round, that's for sure. And I mean, like Dallas is a good team, no doubt about it, but that's a series that, yeah, sure. I mean, you're looking at a difference of 6 wins in the regular season or so. But it's like, yeah, I mean, there's no easy route to the cup in the finals, that's for sure. So I mean, I don't know, like people have a problem with this playoff format. You always hear it around this time of year, and it's like, oh, it should be 1 versus 8. You know, what's
I
but
heard somebody posit 1 versus 16, which is also kind of
yeah, I've heard
ridiculous, if you
that, and I
ask
don't
me.
mind that either, but at the same time, I personally kind of like the divisional format that it's been lately with the wild cards. You know, get out of your division. That's what it's all about. And if you happen to play in the AL East or the Central Division or whatever, good division. Both of those, you know what I mean? It's a good division. Get out of it and you're looking all right.
We gotta go.
We do.
The one thing I will say though too is that we do know that we're getting playoff hockey here in Winnipeg. Whiteout Street Party tickets go on sale, I believe, tomorrow,
Yeah,
maybe.
Monday. Well, Monday morning is the tickets for the hockey game going on sale.
Right.
So,
When
check in on Ticketmaster there. Check your Jets mail.
the whiteout tickets limited to 5,000. Tickets are $10 to go hang out with a bunch of other hockey crazed Lugans.
Didn't it used to be free?
It did until they realized that this is a way to make some money. Tickets are $10, but $5 goes back into the community through United Way Winnipeg. There
So
were
you're
once a...
basically donating to United Way and then paying for porta potty rentals.
Yeah, pretty much. If you didn't give to United Way at the office, don't feel bad because you can give to
You
the
can do
United
it.
Way
Yeah.
here. There's going to be a big party zone on Donald between Portage Avenue and Graham by the Dale Howard Chuck statue. Broadcast on large screens. Food and beverages will be available on site for inflated prices. Sounds like fun. I'm just being a dink, but you know,
well, once the
what are
weather
you gonna
starts
do?
coming around, as
Yeah.
it has,
Yes, it has.
the boys will be on the run, and the town will be buzzing. So,
Yep.
Jared, next week is our Pledgerama show.
That's correct. Yeah.
We're gonna
Yeah.
do it live from UMFM because, folks, we'd normally pre-record.
Live, baby.
Pledgerama's coming.
Yep.
Send us your money.
Yeah,
We're,
it's the
we'll
th
we'll have lots of information about that coming at
coming
you.
this week. I've got Winnipeg Jets bookmarks, Jets 1.0 bookmarks.
Yep.
Many of these players also played for the Arizona Coyotes, if
Yep.
that's your thing.
Coyotes legends.
I've also got a Nikolai Ehlers bobblehead.
Oh.
For one lucky donor out there. We got a planning meeting this week. There's stuff coming, let me
Yeah.
tell you. And that's on top of all the great UMFM stuff. If you go to umfm.com/donate, you can see all of the merchandise, lots of good stuff. And yeah, we'll check the Instagram. You're not on the following the Talking Hockey Gram. You should be anyways, but yeah.
Yeah, just keep going viral
Yeah.
also.
Yeah.
Made a
That's
post
the
about Al MacInnis. It's my next viral it's the
Yeah.
next viral thing. I don't know what's going on here, Jared, but anyway.
Hey.
Now I'm a content creator, so
you're an influencer.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I didn't ask for this. Anyway.
What are we going to go out on?
Yeah, we're going out on the Black Keys. They got a brand new album. What
Yeah.
a great rock and roll band this is. Love them.
Yeah.
We're going to go out on Candy and her friends. They're rolling down Fifth Avenue. I don't think they're talking about Fifth Avenue in St. Boniface. Or is that
Probably
St.
not.
Vital? St. Vital. It's right on the border. And that's so weird. Like, Winnipeg doesn't have numbered streets, but we've got a Fifth Avenue just randomly in the middle of
Hey,
other named streets.
do you want to get into a city planning
Yeah, I don't think we
conversation
do. I don't think
about
we got time
Winnipeg?
for that. But
It's
I
something
think they're
nobody
talking about
wants to
New
hear.
York City here, guys. And yeah, so this one
Probably.
goes out to the you New York Rangers fans. I hope you get the President's Trophy. I really do. Pulling for you. So anyway, right here talking hockey, the Hockey Talking Show. It's the Black Keys and Candy and her friends. Keep your stick on the ice. We'll see you next week for Pledgerama.
Live, baby.